hey, this is Hannes from Storyworthy. I just want to thank you for listening to the show. And listen, the very best thing you can do for us, tell your friends. Send them a link. People are silly. Send them a link to storywiththepodcast.com or our iTunes page and say, hey, you should listen to this. That's all you have to do. That's all you have to do.
Hi, this is Christine Schoenwald of the Pinata Personal Essay Show, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
Welcome to the Storyworthy Podcast. Here are your hosts, Christine Blackburn and Hannes Finney.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm here with
Hannes Finney, and we're coming to you from the Kettle Moraine State Park in beautiful Wisconsin.
Now, I bet that is a very beautiful place.
It is a beautiful place, and you know why I picked it?
Why?
Well, our guest tonight,
Christine Schoenwald.
Christine Schoenwald, or as it would be pronounced in Wisconsin, Schoenwald.
Is that right?
Which means Schoenwald means beautiful forest.
Oh, wow.
And so we have a beautiful forest, and her topic today?
Fat camp.
Fat camp. So camp, the beautiful forest of Kettle Moraine, where we used to camp all the time, and the fat is just covered by Wisconsin. So
oh,
you see how it all works together.
Works
and
together.
Also her name means beautiful forest. So
well,
it's all
Christine,
coming together.
Wait, it's not the Christine part. It's the Schoenwald.
Schoenwald.
Schoenwald. It's German then.
That would be the German pronunciation. It could also be Yiddish, which is very close.
Okay, so she brings forth the topic fat camp.
Fat camp.
This is such a great topic right off the bat because everybody has an image of what is happening.
Yeah, and it seems very modern to me. I don't recall as fat as people are in Wisconsin and were when I was growing up. I don't recall any fat camps.
Actually, I don't except for like on television. In terms of it was like in a joking way. Like I remember the South Park when Cartman went to fat camp.
Yeah, yeah, but I'm talking even before South Park. Like, when you were an actual kid, when you were 12 years old, did you know anybody who went to a fat camp? When you were 12, did you ever hear
but
of
you
a
know,
fat camp?
No, no.
Yeah, it's a recent phenomenon, no. I believe.
I'm not sure about that, but I do know that, you know, they most often go on in the summertime, and so they happen for kind of a short period of time.
Yeah.
So I don't know how that's supposed to, sustain itself.
As a Wisconsinite, I can tell you, they're trying to lose weight in the winter. Not a good plan when you're like, oh, well, this extra layer of fat's keeping me alive.
Yeah.
And no, I'll eat some lettuce. It's 1,000 degrees below zero. Someone give me some kale.
So they go through like a program, I guess, of exercise and learning about lifestyle changing.
Yes. And according
habits.
To The Simpsons, they get yelled at all the time.
And
that's all I know about Fat Camp is the episode where –
That's what I'm thinking,
Bart,
too, like
yeah.
The Simpsons and South Park. And so what was it?
Bart goes to Fat Camp. And he gets yelled at by Albert Brooks as the voice of the guy. And he's like, hey. And then it turns out they just get liposuction. And then they still have credit. So they send Homer to the fat camp. And
you
that,
have
of course,
such a good memory.
I have a memory for useless television crap that is unparalleled.
I don't think that Simpsons trivia is useless, though.
You'd hope not.
No, but I mean, I have found myself in a lot of situations where that like pulls me out of nothing to talk about. Do you know what I mean?
Saying, yes, for chat. That's true. That's
Do you remember
true.
That story I have of when I did that ridiculous movie called Invention of Lying? Yeah, it was called The Invention of
yes.
Lying, but then they changed the name to, I forget, but it was the Ricky Gervais film.
Yeah.
I talked about it on another episode, but the point is I'm in Massachusetts in a rock quarry. Standing around with – in a caveman
You're
outfit.
You're supposed to be a cave woman,
I was
right?
I was a cave woman with Jonah Hill, and Rob Lowe was there and Jeffrey Tambor.
Yeah.
And all these people – and Louis C.K.
Yeah.
And Ricky Gervais. And what did we talk about?
Simpsons.
That's right.
Between Simpsons and Seinfeld, you can cover pretty much the base of everybody.
It unites us.
It does. It does unite us.
Okay,
I was watching a really old episode recently.
Yeah.
And you're like – you look at the animation and you go, wow, that looks really old. But the quality of the writing has always been so top-notch. It's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it's like perfection.
Yeah.
It's like
yeah.
Mary Tyler Moore show or Dick Van – excuse me. It's like
no,
it's like, yeah,
Mary Tyler Moore, Dick Van Dyke. A little I Love Lucy, a little it's
like
classic.
Perfect,
it's classic
perfect
entertainment.
Writing.
And, you know, I don't want to sound like an old fogey. Oh, wait. Too
you
late.
Are. Right.
But Family Guy, which has made me laugh. I'm not going to pretend I've never enjoyed an episode of Family Guy. There's no way that holds up 20 years from now. First of all, not going to be on the air for 20 years. But it's like people outside of the generation that grew up watching Family Guy – are not going to be like, I find a depth in this.
I don't know.
I'm saying.
Let's go back to the topic of the day. Can we do that?
I've already forgotten it.
Fat
because
camp.
The bratwurst fat got into my brain and clogged me.
Here's the thing. You know, you get these kids or folks to go to fat camp, or I guess you could even just call it, you know, like a fitness camp if you're an adult.
That would actually be a better title.
Well, I'm sure they do call it fitness camp. I mean, I'm sure they don't call it fat camp. Well, my point is you go and you teach these people. I would think the more overweight you are, the more weight you do lose in a short period of time. But then how would they sustain it when they go back home?
Right. Their I mean, I habits, assume the family. Point would be to teach you how to keep it off.
Right. So I think the effectiveness would vary widely.
Yeah, it's kind of like dieting. It's like I think everybody knows generally what you need to do. If you eat better and you exercise more, you're going to be in better shape. And like, yeah, people
true.
Keep coming up with these elaborate, well, you know, this way, and this is all fruit, and this is all ground kale, and this is, you're going to exercise, but you're going to do it with a rubber band. You're not going to like run around.
The rubber band, that's going to change everything.
Yeah, why don't you just run around the block and bypass Taco Bell, he said to himself with contempt.
You can go up and down the steps in your apartment or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
But my point is that a lot of people, there's a biochemistry thing that's going on too. Mm-hmm. I mean, what are you born with? Recently, I have a friend on Facebook who was very heavy. Then he went through a weight loss surgery. But nonetheless, so now he's not heavy anymore. But he was heavy. But he was all his life. Now he has a brand new baby.
Yeah.
Don't say the name of the person if you knew who I'm talking about. And this baby is now like 10 months old. And the little boy is so chubby. I've never seen such a chubby baby. And that just goes to show that's just the biochemistry of his makeup.
Well,
that's
there's certainly, yeah, there's certainly that. There's also the fact that what we, you know, what are we eating? Are we eating actual food? Or are we eating food that was created in a laboratory and genetic?
Well,
you know?
And that's exciting, though, that's really changing the education of, you know, sugar, just sugar alone, what that does to people and how bad it is for you.
Yeah, there have always
so
been
people
fat
really
people,
learning.
But there didn't always used to be a gigantic percentage of obese people. Some
now
people
it's
are
like
fat, some people
five.
Are skinny.
Now
that's
it's like one in five are obese.
Yeah, and it's like, and, you know, remember when we were kids, you know, you get a 12-ounce soda. That was it.
Right.
Now a 20-ounce soda is the least soda you can drink.
But like I said, I think it's swaying in the other direction now. But see, here's the thing. We live in California, and so we're kind of live in this place where people are kind of crazy about health and living outside and doing activities, and they have the ability to be outside.
Yes.
You know, you're in Pittsburgh, man, and it's only light 3 hours a day, and you're at
work.
Well,
this is the problem with the fat camp in the winter. It's like, yeah, in the winter you want to eat. But anyway,
well,
let me just say
home.
This
you
about California.
Want-
it's like I've never seen so many donut stands and burger shops in my life.
Yeah, and burritos.
And the burritos and like the, you know, all people argue about Tommy's Chili Burger versus In-N-Out
we
Burger.
We have such good food in California. But the thing is it's fresh food. A lot of it is like I probably go to the store like 4 times a week. I don't like – when I was a kid, we went to the store every other week.
Yeah.
We stocked up for 2 weeks. You know, it was like – I don't know what we were – I think we were hoarding. I don't know what was going on. We were, and a lot of like
your
my sisters,
your mom had
they
six
have,
kids.
No, right,
you know
but
what?
They have, like,
do you know what going to the grocery store with six kids must have been like?
Exactly,
and a
so
horror
we
show.
We have freezers, you know, in our basements,
yeah.
And my sisters have freezers where they literally stock up. They stock up on. But my point
That's
is,
a,
here in California,
yeah.
We shop more for more fresh foods. We're able to go down the street for a taco for $2.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's not, you know, because I think in a lot of parts of the country.
I'm sorry, I need a taco now. I can't think.
But I think a lot of parts of the country, the fast food is so readily available and so cheap. So it's this combination of.
Well, that's the thing.
Get
it's
the
like,
food,
it's,
get
it's
it
cheap,
fast.
It's fatty, and is it like, you know,
and
I read this
good.
Thing. Not that it ever stopped me from eating a hamburger, but it's like, you know, a burger at McDonald's. How much of it is actually legally beef? It's like 40%. And
that's
the rest
so,
is like fillers.
Yeah.
It's like if you go – I went to this place I won't mention because they didn't pay us. But it's like one of these burger reinvention places and I usually go for that. But it was like I had the greatest burger I ever had in my life.
Is it Fat Burger?
No. No. It was a real restaurant. Okay. It's called Stout.
Okay.
Okay. Oddly
I've never
enough,
heard of it.
That's kind of weird. Fat – yeah. Fat Gap and Stout. But they're referring to the beer. But the point is I think part of it was that the beef was top-notch organic beef. It was
right.
Like, oh – this is what beef is supposed to taste like. Like Sherry brought home a tomato from a farmer's market the other week, and I'm like, I'm not that crazy about tomatoes, and she just cut off a slice of it, and I just ate it like, you know, a slice of watermelon. I was like, oh, this is what a tomato is supposed to taste like.
Right. People have gotten so far away, and they have so many ingredients. There's so many, you know, ingredients in the foods that they're eating. It's not they say that the best food to eat is what's like most natural, like a banana or an avocado or something that just grew that way, a watermelon.
Yeah, if you have to peel it, then it's probably good for you.
No, but they say if it's in a box or in a can in your closet.
I'm saying, no, if somebody processed it.
Yeah, if it's
you don't process
it, right.
Like banana, pre-processed banana, you don't want to have. You want to just eat a banana.
Right, exactly. So I think that the more it gets.
Right, and we actually have fruit growing in our backyards.
Do you?
Well,
oh,
I mean,
no, we
in California,
right.
Literally, you don't even have to have your own lemon tree. You just got to have a guy on your block who's got a lemon tree that's sticking over his fence onto the sidewalk, and then legally you can steal his lemons off that side of it.
That's true, but there is also there's a website called Free Fruit LA, and you can go there, and they'll tell you where the free fruit is in terms of public sidewalks,
right.
et cetera.
But
and my nephew's good
another
to go
episode.
With, because my nephew's 6'6", and so he can get the avocados on the high branches.
Oh, thank God.
It's like going produce. It's like, do you want to go for a produce walk? Yeah, let's go.
Oh, nice. By the way, if you type in fresh fruit LA and you put in a dash, you'll go to another website entirely in West Hollywood.
Okay.
So don't go to that website. Oh, see, stupid joke. Stupid
okay,
joke.
So listen, this is exciting. We've got a great storyteller coming up. Christine Schoenwald is here. She runs a show here in Los Angeles. Hannes, you know that. Pinata. Pinata. Have you
pinata.
Heard of that?
Interesting, since a pinata is filled with what? Candy.
Candy.
Which is bad for you.
All ties around.
I would like to have a pinata filled with bananas. Not only would they be totally bruised from being hit, but they would probably have gone bad by the time you broke open the pinata.
But before we bring on our storyteller, folks, I did want to remind you that if you'd like to support Storyworthy, and here's the thing, Hannes, we are celebrating our fourth anniversary.
Yes,
we're still like in a celebratory mood.
We're wearing party hats.
We've got that new website, storyworthypodcast.com, that is spanking new and looking phenomenal.
It looks phenomenal, people. Go there. It's in 3D. I'm kidding. It's
We've
not in 3D.
We've got the Patreon pitch going on. And
yeah,
so things
help
are happening.
Us out, people. Come on.
So anyway, storyworthypodcast.com. Head on over there if you'd like to help us out. And of course, follow us on Twitter at Storyworthy.
At Storyworthy.
Easy enough. All right, you guys. So hang tight because our storyteller, Christine Schoenwald, is on her way here. Next time on Storyworthy, we have voiceover artist Maggie Roswell.
And I'm going to be talking about my move back to LA from Colorado.
That's next time on Storyworthy.
Hey everyone, this is Matt Knutson, and you are listening to Storyworthy.
And we're back. We've taken a road trip from our campsite in Kettle Moraine to the Mars Cheese Castle in Kenosha, Wisconsin, right on.
Defeating the purpose of going to fat camp.
Yes, but the cheese is shaped like odd things, like you can get a cheese shaped like a football or cheese shaped like the state of Wisconsin.
Listen, I have a lot of compassion for battling being overweight and for weight as a woman. You know, I have four sisters. Two of my sisters are heavier and have battled weight their whole life, and my mom has as well. And, you know, it just sucks because it doesn't you try to do what's right. You do what's right, but it doesn't mean it's going to change. You know, it's sometimes, especially if you get to a point where you're heavy, to try to lose it at that point. In other words, get back down. It's such
a
lifestyle change.
Yes, and you know, what I've heard is that, like, let's say you gain a bunch of weight and then you lose weight, but you've created the fat cells for however heavy you got, you'll get that heavy again as you get older. Because
yeah, I'm not
you
sure.
created
and then
the capacity.
If you can't exercise, you know, I mean, one of my sisters has really bad knees and ankles, and she can't, you know, she's limited. And so it gets really tricky. Anyway, I find it's a fascinating subject, so I'm excited that she brought
it to us. Let's hear.
Christine Schoenwald, you guys, she's a writer and a storyteller, and she hosts the very popular essay show, like I mentioned, Hannes, Pinata, here in Los Angeles. And she's also written—
By the way, the piano is filled with pork chops. I'm sorry, it wasn't bananas.
She's also written YA novels and essays in the LA Times— and XO Jane. And you can find her on Twitter at C Schoenwald. It's CSCHOENWALD. So, folks, wherever you are, put your hands together for Christine Schoenwald.
you. Here's something you might not guess by looking at plus size me. I went to fat camp. Surprise, it didn't stick. Yep, I'm a fat camp fail. My time at fat camp continues to haunt me like knowing there are 3 chocolate chip cookies hidden in my kitchen, lurking behind the bread box. Would somebody please eat those before I completely lose my shit? The ad for Camp Murrieta at the very back of 17 magazine showed a cute, but not too cute, girl sitting cross-legged, smiling, and apparently well satisfied with her weight loss results. She seemed to be saying, "Since I lost weight, I like myself a lot, but not so much I try to steal your boyfriend." What am I talking about? You're too fat to have a boyfriend. Camp Murrieta seemed like the answer to all my weight problems. Sure, Susie Slender Thighs was a skinny whore, but she wouldn't steer me wrong. Fat camp was my only option. This was before weight loss surgery, before the cleanse, before modern civilization. At 16, I didn't understand why I wasn't a size 2. I obsessively watched what I ate, which was a steady diet of tater tots and Diet Coke floats. See, the diet part of the Diet Coke counterbalances the ice cream part, making the float itself almost negative calories. In addition, everyone knows tater tots are only bad for you if you eat them with a leafy green vegetable on alternative Thursdays. I wasn't a fitness fiend, but I did ride my bike to Bergman's department store to stock up on candy and to go to Paramount Imports, the local head shop, to get blacklight posters and cherry-scented incense. Let me tell you, riding to Paramount Imports was not for wimps, because you had to ride under the freeway, which was absolutely terrifying. It was as much of a workout as if I had actually gone to the gym. Fear is often an underrated fat burner. But I needed help. So I talked my parents into sending me to Camp Murrieta. It was completely my idea and up to me to make it work. My resolve lasted less than one day, kind of like when I try to break up with butter. I desperately wanted to believe that by going to fat camp, I would learn good eating habits, train myself to crave healthy foods, and be able to fool myself into enjoying working out. Instead, at this prison for pudgies, I learned how to lie, steal, and be a mean girl. In a letter to my parents, I wrote, "Dear Mom and Dad, hi, how are you? I am just fine. 4 days of camp have gone by with 24 to go. On Tuesday, the camp went to SeaWorld. I saw Shamu, the killer whale, not to be confused with us campers. Ha ha. No one hates a fat girl more than a fat girl. It was interesting. I find myself eating things I don't like because I'm so hungry. For instance, cottage cheese and fish. Ugh. Don't expect me to eat them at home. This healthy eating crap ends when camp ends." Each morning, a loud pounding on the door would wake us up. If knocks can sound athletic, then these certainly did. Bam, bam, bam. "Ladies, time for your morning run." It was the matron. I mean our camp counselor, Gina, getting us up for a daily jog. Every Camp Murrieta camper started their day with a few laps around the campus. Well, every camper who wasn't wise to the ways on how to outwit the screws, I mean our personal weight loss advisors. "We already ran," we'd lie, secure in our warm beds, "really super early." Stupidly, Gina always believed that we were so enthusiastic about losing weight that we had gotten up before the sun. There wasn't one element of truth in our response. We had no more had an early morning run than a visitation from Elvis. Camp Murrieta was located on the beautiful UCSD campus, but we saw very little of San Diego as we were too busy shoplifting our weight in extra-large bags of M&Ms. We'd come back from one of our field trips with our shirts bulging, more than usual, from all the candy we'd stolen. After we divvied up our ill-gotten booty, most of which would go directly to our booties, some campers would delve right into their stash, while others would hide it, preferring to binge in private. Sure, candy stealing is dangerous, but nothing is more delicious than eating a contraband Snickers while seated on the crapper. We were food addicts, but really, isn't everyone? Maybe not. But I'll tell you one thing, no matter how full we were from our stolen candy, we never missed a meal and would still cut a bitch for an extra slice of low-carb bread. The Camp Marietta girls were a mixed bag, as I pointed out in an essay I wrote the following semester in sophomore English. When you decide to go to an all-girls fat camp, what should you expect to find? Fat, weird girls. And believe me, there were some winners at Camp Marietta. A girl with athlete's foot who insisted on hanging her bloody socks in the window, and a lesbian who hid in phone booths. What? These girls dressed in anything that fit. Moo-moos, tents, burlap bags, and lived on dreams of having Starsky, Hutch, or maybe the Fonz as a boyfriend. Gainers. One memorable camper was a girl named Barb from Canada, who was so obsessed with the sun that she would flash people to show them her non-existent tan lines. Her show in Titty Tell was a daily nightmare for me. On Barb's goodbye card to me, she wrote, "Time goes fast, yet slow. Hope your time goes the way you want it to go." Was she incredibly stupid, or someone who could manipulate the time-space continuum? I'm always a little tempted to use that as a birthday greeting on Facebook. Then there was Cindy, who absolutely refused to take a shower, and you can imagine the stench of a camper who hasn't showered for 3 days. I pretended that I was being helpful when I anonymously left some shampoo, soap, and deodorant outside Cindy's door with a note that read, "Please take a shower. We beg of you. Love, a friend." Cindy was devastated by this gift, but became firmer in her resolve to stink. While I felt bad that I had hurt her, I never took responsibility for the prank. I lost weight that summer, but quickly gained it and more back. Was it Camp Marietta that had failed, or myself? Recently, I had a health wake-up call, and it wasn't one where I could say I'd already run. Decades after Camp Marietta, I have finally realized that eating healthy and moving isn't just good for you, it can save your life. Now I've had to embrace those things I should have learned at fat camp in the first place. Exercise, eat more vegetables, and don't shoplift your weight in candy. Remember, time goes fast yet slow. Hope your time goes the way you want it to go. And honestly, it goes a lot better if you take care of yourself.
Yay! That's a sweet story, Christine. Do you have siblings?
No.
You were the only child?
No, my brother died.
Okay, no kidding. And how old were you when that happened?
I think I was 30.
Oh, you were an adult.
Yeah.
Interesting. So growing up, did he go to fat camp?
Oh, no. My brother was very tall and slender, and he was also 8 years older than me.
Oh, I see. So there was a big age difference.
Yeah. And my mother is very slender.
And where did you grow up?
I grew up in San Jose, California, in the Bay Area.
That's a beautiful place, right?
I love it, yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
Are your folks still there?
No, my mother lives in a really small town in the Sacramento Delta called Walnut Grove.
Walnut Grove? You mean outside
of San
Francisco?
Sounds like a soap opera from the 80s. Walnut Grove.
Walnut Creek.
Walnut Creek. Yeah, it does.
Yeah. It's right down the street from Falcon Crest.
Yeah. This is actually close to Lodi.
Lodi. Yeah. That's that was a popular – what song was that, Hannes?
Stuck in Lodi again.
You're know the way to San Jose.
Yeah.
Right. Different.
Yeah. You reminded me of one of my dad's eating the tater tots and the Diet Coke. Like, my dad was a fat guy, even fatter than me. He was his idea was that he stopped eating beefsteak entirely and started to eat pork steak in their place because it has less fat. Which
that's completely right.
It's right, completely insane. Like, technically, it's like, I'm not going to eat 5 hamburgers, I'm going to eat 4. That's not a diet. That's not technically a diet.
We didn't have any vegetables in Pittsburgh. I mean, we had, like, canned peas and canned corn.
Oh, the canned vegetable mix, that's horrifying.
We had iceberg lettuce, because I remember my mom would say fruit is either in season or out of season.
Yeah.
Like, all fruit. Fruit.
Oh, in general.
Yeah, in general. Fruit is either in or out of season. So there really weren't a lot of choices. I think now there's more choices.
Oh, absolutely.
But where I grew up, when I grew up, but you were in California, so you always had fruits and vegetables around.
Sure. Yeah, we had a persimmon tree, a pineapple guava tree, apple, pomegranate.
And so you knew these foods are out there. Did you eat those as well?
Sure.
Growing up?
Yeah. But I was kind of a candy addict. You brought that up. I mean, I had fantasies of, like, being the Easter Grinch and, like, stealing all the kids' candy. I had a candy problem. I've had it since.
What was your favorite candy bar?
God.
Who's my favorite child?
Yeah, wow.
Was it Sophie's Choice with Snickers? Snickers presents Sophie's Choice.
I completely stumped Christine Schoenwald, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Maybe I don't have a problem with that. I have a problem. My problem is savory. I like fatty meats and I like salty things. And like I can have ice cream in my fridge for a month and I won't touch it.
Oh, wow.
But if there's a bag of chips around, it's like then I'm in big trouble.
But you're more into sugar. The sugar
rush. I wouldn't go that far. I like all the bads.
Okay, so Mounds, that's coconut.
I like.
It's coconut munchy nuts too. No, that's
Almond Joy.
Right.
Joy,
yeah. Mounds got real dark chocolate and chewy coconut. Ooh. Sometimes I feel like,
And then Almond Joy. I can never figure this out. By the way, I don't like coconut, so this is, I was never a problem. But the Almond Joy is basically the same thing with, but it's got an almond and it's got milk chocolate. But the Mounds was coconut and dark chocolate.
And there was no nut.
There's no nut. But why did they change the chocolate? I must know.
Oh,
as a kid,
gosh,
I was
Hans,
like, why did they go? Why did they change? No, I lost it a long time ago. I used to sit and watch TV and go, why are they two different chocolates if the difference is the nut?
I still enjoy a Three Musketeers frozen.
No.
Frozen Three Musketeers or frozen Reese cups.
You gotta go with your
Reese cups,
your Twix
in the
maybe.
Freezer,
yeah,
it's going down.
The whatchamacallit bar.
The whatchamacallit never did it for me. It had more of a crisp to it.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was more into like a chew and a nougat, like a payday.
It's I've learned this from Food Network Television. It's called mouthfeel.
Oh, mouthfeel.
That's the technical, not legal, the business term of
you
like
that. You know what has a lot of mouthfeel?
Me?
You know what has a lot of mouthfeel is the gummy bear.
Oh, yeah, I hate that.
There's a lot of breathing going on, and then there's also like the little ball at the end of the arms and legs of the bear. I'm just saying.
No, that's
you
what
your money's worth with a gummy bear.
You really
that's
do.
Like
my daughter doesn't
like
eat the yellow
roll.
Or the green ones, and so she hands them to me from the back seat.
Oh.
And I put them in my face, Christine. I eat them. They have been in her little dirty, tiny hands. She's just left tennis camp, and her little hands are filthy dirty, and she's handing me gummy bears, and I'm eating them. That's what a mother
well,
I am.
Well, you're not wasting.
Yes.
Well, now here's something I wanted to ask you. In the alternative, do you have children, Christine?
I don't have any children.
In the alternative of fat camp, would you or could you have ever considered that you maybe wanted to go to tennis camp? In other words, that to me is like an automatic fat camp to go to a sports camp.
Yeah, I was good at weird sports like tetherball. And as far as I know, there's no tetherball camp.
There should be.
Yeah.
I mean,
cha-ching, I see an untapped potential.
It could be kickball, tetherball, and wiffle ball.
I would have been great at that. No, I don't know why. It just seemed like the solution. The next year, I went to this like hippie, groovy Quaker school on the Yuba River. So
your parents were hippies, weren't they?
No, they weren't. But they.
How did you get to that school?
Huh?
Oh, I see. They just wanted to get rid of you.
Yeah.
Because that sounds like a good school.
Well, that was funny because that started off with this four-day backpack trip.
Yeah.
And I made this decision like, I'm going to lose weight. I'm not going to eat sugar. I'm not going to eat meat. So I ate basically nothing.
Well, nuts. You mean like nuts and fruits?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I didn't know like what to pack, so I brought like 10 pairs of socks and a mess kit. So, you know, we're on the trail. Obviously, I get sick. Somebody else has to carry my backpack. They get really pissed off. When we get back to the school, someone nails shut the door of my cabin to show how irate they were at having to carry my backpack.
Wow.
Maybe it was that girl that you give the shower, you know, the shower gel to.
Well, that was a fat camp girl.
Well, that
was. I'm saying she followed you. She's outside right now. Yeah. We're actually, the whole point of the show is a surprise. We're actually, it's a confrontation like Jerry Springer. Bring her in, boys. Yeah.
That was a very bad experience, obviously.
Well, you know what? It just started out bad, but after that it was fun.
So did all the other campers feel the same way that you felt, do you think? I mean, was anybody thinking like, you know, this is reasonable. They are teaching us about health and diet and exercise. So I could see being here. It makes sense.
No.
Nobody
felt
like that. You're
all like prisoners. It was just constantly, how are we going to get some contraband food? You know, that was what the whole thing was about. And it was funny because there were some, like, celebrity children there. Like, one of the Pointer Sisters' daughter was there.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I think that one of the...
Did she do We Are Family for the talent show?
She did. We're so excited.
Now listen.
We've got Snickers.
Oh, dun, you guys, dun, dun, you wish you weren't. You wish we weren't podcasting now because Christine Schoenwald was just putting her hands over her head and waving.
I know
them
it's
high.
Podcast gold with yeah. the waving. I want to ask. I mean, you don't have to tell us anything pertinent, but you say you've had a health scare recently, so you've gotten on the health bandwagon now.
I have. I'm doing like green smoothies in the morning and drinking vinegar and.
Whoa, Jesus. Why are you doing that?
Oh, apple cider vinegar is really super good for you. So if you have like 2 tablespoons and a little bit of coconut water and a little bit of juice, it helps.
I guess leaves a taste in your mouth that makes you think, I don't want to eat anything
so
all day long.
So that works for you? Does that work for you?
That isn't just the exercise. And
what kind of exercise are you doing?
Well, I have bad knees, and so I've tried to start riding my bike again, mm-hmm. and it's swimming.
Swimming is supposed to be a very good exercise. Yeah. Yeah, so Camp Marietta, the idea of it, it would seem like nobody would be there on a volunteer basis, because if it was just about education, then they wouldn't, you know, in other words, if they're either making a choice to eat or not, at the end of the day, you can tell them everything you want, but if they either choose to eat or they don't choose to eat it.
Plus, this was a long time ago. Yeah. I mean, this was in the 70s. I'm a lot older than you guys.
No, so. I bet I'm older than you. Yeah, I'm 48. How old are you?
Well, since we're podcasting, 53.
All right. Wow, you don't look 53.
Thank you.
Amazing.
Fat don't crack.
Wow, I haven't heard that. Heard that. I've definitely heard
I haven't heard that, but I've noticed that like people will like lose weight and get in shape when they're 60, and you're like, yeah. Whoa, what the hell? It's like, where'd all those wrinkles come from? Yeah. What the hell?
Yeah. So tell us about the Pinata Show.
We've been doing it for about 7 years.
Yeah, it seems very popular.
Yeah, you know, it's fun. We had started out at Bang, which no longer exists.
Oh, Bang, yes, I've been there.
Bang Theater, for anybody.
Evan Gore, who I've known since first grade, used to teach improv there.
Yeah, uh-huh. I love Evan Gore.
Yeah.
And then we did it at Vidiot's, where I used to work, and now we're doing it at the Brewdog Pub.
Great.
And we just have, you know, writers and actors from all over. Certainly welcome to do a pinata if you want.
Where is the Brewdog Pub?
It's on Wilshire.
I must have driven past it. I can see it in my head.
Yeah, throw a lot of candy at the end of pinata.
That's good. But from now on, everybody gets a free shot of vinegar. Yeah. That'll pack the house.
I was at a party once where at the pinata, they broke the pinata and it was full of miniatures and condoms and silly, you know, haha. Sort of funny, not really.
Miniatures and condoms?
At the time, you know, miniature liquors and condoms and things of that nature.
See, we're not all former flight attendants, so miniatures to us means miniature candy.
Did you like that picture I posted?
Throwback Thursday. Her hair was. I don't know how you got on a plane.
Christine Blackburn.
I don't think a cabin of a plane could control your hair.
It was out of control. I posted this really humorous picture of me when I was a flight attendant back in 1990.
But you're standing with two other girls, and their hair looks exactly the same.
Yeah.
The three of you are 85 feet wide.
It was me and Cynthia Hess and Amy Hauk. It was Easter Sunday. And if you look closely at that photo, I have on Easter egg earrings, which is so upsetting.
I don't think anybody with your hair was going to notice
my
your
crazy
earrings. No.
Anyway, all right. Hey, you want to play some Shotgun Story Ready?
Sure. Why not?
Music can only mean one thing. It's time for Shotgun Storyworthy.
The game where our storyteller spins the storyworthy wheel of truth and tells a true one-minute story about the topic it lands on.
So everybody, say it with me.
Spin that wheel!
California. I'm a fourth generation Californian. I've lived here my whole life. I've never lived anywhere else. The one time that I went to New York was right after 9/11, and I went anywhere anyway because I was like, you know what? I'm a badass. I'm not afraid of those terrorists. And I had a great time, but I was so happy to come home.
Wow. Fourth generation. That is, see, because everybody I know is an import. And every once in a while I meet somebody who's lived here, and it's like, you're just not used to it.
Yeah. Well, my father was from Vienna. But
okay, well, so that was so far away that it goes through like four generations.
Yeah,
like you don't have to have anybody from outside.
Yeah, Vienna.
And then, oh, yeah, but wait a minute. So I was going to ask about your last name. So you're Yeah. So your father would have pronounced his name Schoenwald.
Yes, he was Austrian, and it also was spelled differently.
Yeah.
So they kind of added a C, which was problematic when I went to go find my grandparents' grave in the cemetery. Walked around for hours looking for them, couldn't find them. Went to the office. Hey, I'm looking for my grandparents, yeah. Schoenwald. They're not here. I know they're here. I used to come visit with my... It was because the spelling was different.
Did you find it?
Was it...
Finally.
Because of the umlaut? Because the O-O-E is right. An American version.
I don't know where
version.
My father is buried. I don't know. I mean, I guess I never asked. I guess somebody would tell me if I asked.
Yeah, well, it's like my... Yeah, I mean, I have never... I've said this before. It's like my mother's buried in Germany. My dad's buried in Milwaukee in the Veterans Cemetery. I've never been back to either one of the graves because to me that's just a weird sentiment. Like, they're not there.
Yeah,
they're in my memories. They're
I should
if I'm going to be all
though.
Spiritual, think, they're in the air, but they're not there.
Next time I go
that's
to
the one
I'm
place
go.
They're not.
I am going to go next time.
But he's not.
I know that, but I do want to know where it is, and I don't even have a picture of it, you know?
Yeah.
So I should know.
Yeah, that's true. But it's just weird to me that people like sit and talk. They go every week and talk to their dead wife or husband's
grave. Well, what's the difference if they sit there? They sit in their house and talk to an urn?
No, I'm saying if you sat in your house and talked to them, I would consider that to be completely make more sense than going
yeah,
to where the body
to go
is.
Go somewhere. Yeah, but that's more realistic. I mean, they're sitting on top of them, aren't they? I mean, I could see the presence of that.
Yeah, but if you're a ghost or a presence or whatever you want to say, you're going to hang around where your body was and be like, hey, look at me, I can go through walls.
What do you want to happen when you die, Hannes? Let us know right here and now.
Definitely cremation.
Yeah.
Because this whole burying and using up land doesn't make any sense to
okay,
me whatsoever.
Okay, so you heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. Hannes Finney would like to be cremated. And then
yes.
What do we do with your ashes?
Well, you go to Mars Cheese Castle. And you put me in the parking lot there, and I'm good.
Okay, what do you want? What do you want to be done to your body, Christine?
Cremated and stick me in the niche next to my dad.
Oh, interesting. Right next to your dad. He's cremated then.
Yes.
Interesting. Okay, I want to be cremated as well. There, I've said it. And then you guys sing Neil Young's "Long May You Run." Take a note. Write this down.
Yeah, like I'm going to outlive you.
And then you know, drink some beer, that sort of thing. Play
yeah,
some
exactly.
Guitar.
Well, no,
but
can we roll you up in a joint and smoke
then,
you? That I think would be the appropriate.
My friend said that he wants everybody to have a film canister full of his ashes.
Yeah.
And I said he's totally dating himself to even talk about film canisters. And besides, that's what you put your weed, we used to put
yeah.
our weed,
yeah.
and I don't want to smoke him, you know.
Well, I don't know. I
Maybe
think smoking
I do.
People wouldn't be.
Hey, thanks for coming on the show, Christine.
Thank you so much.
Yes,
totally
thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Okay, so we're going to wrap it up right about now. On behalf of everybody here at Sideshow Network and Levity Entertainment, I'm just going to throw that in.
They're up on a different floor. They won't let us in there.
They won't. You have to have a card, and then there's a code.
We're down here on one of the lower floors. We're in the basement. There's actually water dripping in the corner. There's a sound. It may be a rat. I don't know what it is.
Specifically, thank you to Anthony Mensch and Sean Merrick. And, of course, John Thomas Griffith. You know, he's the guy that wrote the theme song, Hannes. Follow me.
I've heard this. I don't understand the concept.
And on behalf of our storyteller tonight, Christine Schoenwald, thank you very much for coming. And, of course, on behalf of you, Hannes Finney, my dear friend and co-host, my name is Christine Blackburn, saying, make it a story-worthy week.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called, wait for it, It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.